Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
It's Feline Fury Time.
Hello, freedomizers and friends. This is Tiger Lily. Thank you for staying tuned after Cheryl's great show. I am broadcasting from Polygamyville, Utah, and it is snowing. Well, it's not snowing, but there is snow on the ground. I just got in from Las Vegas. I went into Las Vegas to do I had a small claims hearing, and I can't wait to tell you guys all about it. I am supposed to have a guest today by the name of Carlos Miller. So he is famous in activism circles out of Florida. He has a website by the name of, let me see if I could get that real quick so I don't say it wrong, photographyisnotacrime.com. And he is one of these people who gets into the grill of these cops when they are doing their duties to make sure that they do not hurt any citizen. Because as a lot of us know, some of these cops are out of control. So let me just tell you a little bit about Carlos Miller and give him a chance to call in. And if because he didn't confirm this morning with me, so that's a little bit concerning to me in the sense that I hope he's okay. The only other time I've ever had a guest lined up that didn't show up, it was because he had broken his back. He was out in the woods somewhere, and there was no way for him to contact me to tell me. He felt very badly about it, but I learned my lesson. Plan B, because the show must go on. So let me tell you a little bit about Carlos Miller. He had a trial. He had several trials where, because he gets charged by cops, they get frustrated with him because he's not going to back off. He's not going to take his camera away. He wants to catch these guys or at least keep the public safe. And he's one of many activists that are doing that, but he's one of the pioneers in this. I had the privilege of interviewing the great Antonio Bueller out of Austin, who is doing the exact same thing. And he started doing this videotaping and recording these cops as a result of a very horrific experience that he had on New Year's Day just a year ago. And that was his awakening. Now, Antonio Bueller is a West Point grad, a person who served honorably in the military, and they really messed with the wrong guy because he basically was taking a video of a lady that was screaming and hollering because these cops were hurting her. I mean, they were hurting her because the only crime she did, if you can even call it a crime, was that she was the passenger in a car, and she told her friend, she was telling her friend, you don't have to submit to a DUI test. I mean, she was just telling her what her rights are. And for that, she was handcuffed and she was just absolutely brutalized. And he took a picture of that, and the cops confiscated the camera and said that he's him and just lied through their teeth. These suckers are the biggest liars. Cops are the biggest threat to our liberties today. They are sociopaths. They are psychopaths. They are just absolutely out of control. People who think that this is the land of the free, home of the brave, get a clue. We're not so free anymore. What right is there that we have? What is a right? We don't have the right to bear arms anymore when you have to ask for permission, when it's got all the guns. And then you have the mass media saying, oh, we got to get the guns all away from people. So, you know, this show today is going to be a little bit about Carlos Miller, who was supposed to be my guest. So, and a little bit about just do some critical thinking exercises in your brain. So Carlos he impressed me because I'm on one of his Facebook groups, and he posted that he was being charged for obstruction or some BS kind of a charge. And he posted this on his website about that trial because he was found not guilty after a whole lot of abuse that he had to endure. So he said, quote, "The most telling part of my trial yesterday," and now this was a few days ago, he says, besides the continuous lies under oath by Miami-Dade Police Major Nancy Perez, was when a fraddish-looking prosecutor fresh out of law school named Ari Pregen, P-R-E-G-E-N, tried to explain to jurors how a quote-unquote real journalist was supposed to act. A real journalist, he explained, was supposed to follow police orders without a second thought. A real journalist would never backtalk to police. A real journalist would never question a direct police order as to why he was not allowed to stand on a public sidewalk. Oh my gosh, this is what these people think. They think that they are above the law, that they can give out commands, dish out commands, whether or not these commands are even lawful or constitutional. None of that matters to them because they know that they can force us, we the taxpayers who are supporting their livelihood, they can force us to do whatever the hell they want us to do whenever they want and think that they're going to get away with it because they have an almost infinite source of resources at their fingertips to defeat anybody who dares question these gods in costumes. So he goes on in his article, and I encourage you to go to his website. It's called photographyisnotacrime.com, and it's his. He's got a whole post on this, on how you know, from start to finish, his whole trial. So he said that when that prosecutor said that, he says, quote, "That left the door open for one of my attorneys, Santiago Lavandera, to remind jurors that a real journalist was supposed to do the complete opposite." So now he quoted exactly what the lawyer said, and this is what his defense attorney said. Quote, "In this country, when you're a journalist, your job is to investigate, not to be led by your hand where the police want you to see, so they can hide what they don't want you to see. No, when you're a journalist, a real journalist, it's your job to go and find the truth. As long as you are acting within the law, as Mr. Miller was, you have the right to demand and say, no, I'm not moving. I have the right to be here. This is a public sidewalk. I have the right to be here. He did his job. He has the right to do his job the way he sees fit. It's not up to these prosecutors to tell anybody, much less an independent journalist, how to do their job. It's not up to the police officers. It's not up to a judge or the president. In this country, journalists do their job the way they see fit. What he's describing is Cuba. What he's describing is a communist country. The government says, you can't be here because I say you can't be here. And it's infuriating to me that as a prosecutor, that a prosecutor would try to get up here and try to convince you, because they're talking to the juror, try to convince you that just because a police officer says something, that he has to bow his head and walk away. That is a disgrace to the Constitution of this country. Bravo. Oh, boy. I couldn't have said it better myself. And let me tell you, I certainly did try, because the time that I was charged for obstructing a police officer for not going away. Now, mind you, I'm the type of activist that if I'm doing activism work in a state that allows for open carrying firearms, I will carry my firearm wherever it's lawful to carry it. And I will carry it in a way that is very, very visible. It doesn't scare people. In fact, a lot of people come up to me and ask me if I'm a police officer because they're curious. You know, they see a big old 45. It's very obvious because I'll like yesterday when I was in Las Vegas, I wore this bright red for the holiday vest. So you can see my black 45 that contrasts very nicely against my red outfit. So people will come up to me and ask me if I'm a cop. And I tell them, not only am I not a cop, I don't like cops, and my gun is a means to repel them and criminals. But I repeat myself. Yes, they are criminals. They are above the law. And in the second part of the show, I'm going to air what Stefan Molyneux has to say about gun rights. And that's a very compelling, he's a philosopher, and he makes for a very compelling, the most compelling case I have ever, argument that I have ever heard anybody make about why it is that people should have the right to bear arms. He has a completely different twist on it. But I digress. So when I was being charged and for obstruction in the city of North Las Vegas, the prosecutor, she's a black female prosecutor, she, and mind you, this is a court of non-record, and we are stripped of our electronic devices before we can come in. We're not allowed a cell phone. Unless you're an attorney, you can have a cell phone. But we're not allowed any electronic devices. We're not allowed a cell phone, no cameras, no nothing. That makes, and it's not just in the courtroom where the hearings are taking place. It is in the entire courthouse. Now, so if you have business inside of that courthouse, say you're going to go pay a payment for a speeding ticket or something, you have to get a number. And because of the shortage of personnel, because they've had to cut back, you could wait up to 3 hours to get seen by a window lady. So when I was in that court, in the courtroom, and having my trial in this top secret court of non-record, there were a number of cops that were sitting there in the back who had no business being there, and they were in uniform. So I'm thinking they were milking the clock, just observing to see what it is this judge was going to do. Was he going with the crazy activist lady, or was he going to side with them? So, no, they didn't let me have any recording devices or anything. And the prosecutor said, now, mind you, I was not open carrying that day because this was a day when I was not an activist. I got a phone call from my daughter-in-law telling me that my son was being arrested because he was open carrying. Now, that's not an unlawful thing to do. And I know that my son has attitude. And I could just see that he was going to get king. So I deliberately disarmed myself to go up and be an action and video what it is that you're going to do. Time I will ever disarm myself that camera, I would not have been arrested. But I didn't have a gun. I was ordered to go away. I did not go away. I was handcuffed. My stuff, my belongings were seized. And my video camera, my video footage was erased. So the black prosecutor, the black female prosecutor, actually similar to what the prosecutor Carlos's prosecutor, Your Honor, I want you Ms. Guilty to send a message to them that when a police officer gives an order, obey. You know, because when you have, if you're in a court situation like that, I give a closing brief, and then the defense closing brief, and then the prosecution gets a final closing brief. So I had a written closing statement I could feel my hands crumbling up that piece of paper, because everything is like, couldn't even hear what she was saying after she said that. I was so incensed with anger. I was fucking nerve. Tell a judge to find me guilty to send it when police give us a... What if the order was for me, a BJ? What about the lawfulness of the order? What is it about the... What is the woman does not understand? So I could tell right then and there I was going to be convicted, and I really didn't care because I knew I was going to appeal. And so when I saw that this lady said that, this is what I said to her, and I'm having to go by memory because I don't have any proof of this, but I'm going to put this on YouTube, everybody, and. And then that her to have to see this, to have to see what reporting that happened in their top secret court of not, and she then accused me of slander or anything because it is the truth. She wants to get me or charge me with slander. Good luck. Go get that surveillance. Get surveillance tape and find out what the truth, and you will see. We'll see. So she'll never go and get that surveillance tape because I am speaking the truth when I tell you that I said to her, once she said that to the judge, I said, Your Honor, it's a good thing that in back in the day, Rosa Parks did not obey a command of her day, let alone unlawful. And I asked the judge to find me not guilty to send them to all gangbangers in his room that were sitting there watching to see what would happen to them. And I said, you get a message to them. Not go around giving law-abiding willy-nilly and arresting them for no good reason. Well, I got found guilty, and when I said that, the judge made it very uncomfortable for me. And basically, I had $500 fine before I could even appeal. That's our justice system, gentlemen. So when the Carlos Miller's defense attorney about how what happened to Carlos that only happened in a communist country like Cuba. Let me tell you, I bet you they have more liberties in Cuba than we do here, as evidenced by the fact caged like animals in the United States of America per capita than any other country. And that includes communist China, not more communist, Russia combined. So anyways, Carlos has been an activist for many, many years, and hopefully I'll get him on in Edifo, but I wanted to share a little about Adrian's day. Because this is a choice activist. Now, what that means is sort of the states in the United States still held what I call helmets. For most, if you're listening, you're riding in Nevada or in California or the eight states, including wear a helmet. Don't, you're going to get the ticket. Well, I got my first helmet ticket because I've had I call it controversial headgear, but the controversial. So I got my first helmet ticket and I asked the cop, what is it that you don't like about my helmet? Is it that I put on it, or what the hell? And that's not a helmet. Tell it to the judge. Don't argue it with me. I said, can I talk to your supervisor? So I got talked to the supervisor. And, of course, I had to sign the ticket or go to jail. And that's, you know, yeah, oh, you got a right. But when you sign the ticket, you're waiving your rights. You're waving your right to a magistrate. But if you go before a magistrate, that means they're going to impound your motorcycle and you're to jail until you get to talk to a magistrate. Now, is that justice? I don't think so. Of course, I'm going to sign it. So I went to an arraignment, because if you're to an arraignment, then a warrant for my arrest, right? So then a month later, I have a pretrial hearing. And at this pretrial hearing, I have there's a district attorney who's representing the state and says, ladies and gentlemen, it's like, let's make a deal behind door number one and opt to pay $100 and have this on behind door number two. You take a chance if you want to challenge your ticket, and maybe your punishment will be even more disastrous. It's right now that you have to pay. So I'm thinking, I'm not signing anything. I'm not making a deal. And the little prosecutor, she's like, what is over a helmet ticket? You're not going to pay $100, whatever it was. and non-moving violation, no points on your, and they really try to pay up so that you can shut up. So up today, and I was hard. I went through a group of work. I had my opening statement, my closing statement. I was going to ask my accuser to get to court. Case, screw you. We don't care. I remember Judge Jacinta did. But you prevailed. How prevailed when I didn't get a day in court? And these cops keep saying, tell us to the judge, which, well, like, it's even juicier than that. So what I did, I went over to a name. You ever been? That they both came out of the Rodney King case, where the person for the abuse that they flipped poor Rodney. And so now, you know, if a cousin, well, I thought I woke up, but hell, I didn't have. So I had to go to an arraignment. I had to return to jail. I had to go to her, go to her. And but well, there would have been a warrant for my arrest, any dismissal then. Through all of these $100 to get the discovery and myself. So I'm thinking, over the mall, found out that two small claims suit again. It only cost $47, and in all claims that brought myself because the lady had never seen a small claims that looked like mine. You got to blah 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 information. I said, okay, fine, whatever. I went downstairs. I got the form. And you know, I had paid for a policy, but okay, I did what you want, and I gave another window lady. You just papered, and she says, "I'm not gonna scan it. I'm just gonna scan this." Okay, well that's fine, but can you give me your name, and do you have a badge number? And she, I moved over my audio tape of her, and she said, "Are you recording?" And I says, "Oh yeah." She goes, "I've gone on a," and I went to your supervisor, and she says, "Yeah," and she says, "I'm done with," you know, shoved my paper to me, and I kind of left it in there, you know, very, please give this to your supervisor. Supervisor realizes they're ignoring, so it's, you know, they're calling my name or number, and I can tell they're ignoring me. Now I haven't had breakfast, and it's and I could tell them with me, so I could set up my camera. Actually, two of them, because if they I get another one stolen or. I have, as the civil coming out of their author, I was videotaped. Well, soon I'm going to do the marshal. Let me tell you, it was there must have been six gangbangers there. One of them wanted to confiscate my camera. I'm quick on my feet because he's allowed to have a gun in the courthouse. I said, now this is not a court of, not on record. I told them they're getting arrested because these aggressive guys, this work that these people do when they record this is dangerously what they're doing. I mean, if you've ever somebody for their service overseas, forget that crap. That's compared to what, I mean, this balls to recall. Because one false move and they'll use you. And pay time off to do that. That America that we live in, late season. The sixth game bang was try to, I'm thinking fast on my, you know, the guy says, give me that recording device. Give me that. Give me your camera. What's the point? Live streaming. And thinking that that was what made him retreat. To see my driver's license. I said, what driver's license? So I can get arrested, and I was bluffing to live stream. So I gave him my driver. Here comes his redhead little poppin' fresh doughboy that comes over, and then he's social security number. I said, I don't consent to you searching my social. Give me your social security number. I don't consent. No, you don't have a choice, man. You need to give me your social security number. This is the bullying that they use. I said, all right, because I was bluffing about the last. And so you know, I'm not really comfortable announcing because he was 10 feet away from me. And I said, I'm not comfortable at the security number in front of, you know, in public like this. And he comes over. So I says, I'll in your ear, say something because, you know, he's afraid of the girl. Maybe I'll bite his ear. Of me. He's scared of popping fresh doughboy. He's scared of a girl. Well, then the lieutenant, I believe his name is, and he's on. And I tried to, I'm just filing a same faction, and this lady slammed the window in my face. So I got the rock star service from there, and I asked him for an event number, so I got that. If I wanted to do a, but we won't. The best reason to get an event number is a complaint going. It's like the hen house. Yeah, you know, what is it? The guarding the give me a break. They just investigate each other, and then you get a letter in the mail. It's too bad, so sad. Because of our union rules, we can't tell you jack squat. We're not going to tell you nothing. If you don't like it, you could go to the Citizens Review. Who sits in his review board, but the people that are appointed by the sheriff. So it's all an incestuous relationship. We ain't got a prayer, you guys. We ain't got a prayer against this so-called free society. So thank you for listening. We're at the bottom of the hour, everybody, and I've got a lovely audio tape that I'm going to play to you for you at the when I get back from break, but shoot, I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties here. But in the meantime, I want to let y'all know that you're listening to Tiger Lily on Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. This is my radio show that I have on Fridays now from 11 to noon Pacific time. Every Friday, this time, same place. And you can join the chat by going to freedomizerradio.com and just log on. You cannot log on anonymously if you want to call into the show. I'll probably have some time because I don't see Carlos Miller waiting to speak to me. I don't, at least I don't think so. And so stay tuned because I'm going to go to commercial break and I'll be back in just a minute as soon as I get my studio back on here because my computer was kind of slowing down. And when I get back, I'm going to address the school shooting. As you recall, this is a one-week anniversary. I've been going out of my way not to listen to lamestream media. I couldn't believe this one chick, this broad on CNN, actually said, gosh, I wonder what's going to happen. Maybe they'll do a new agency, you know, just to deal with this. And I'm like, what is the ATF? What does the ATF stand for?
Alcohol, tobacco,
and firearms. I mean, isn't that what the ATF is? Government, more government is not the solution. It never has been. It never will be. It's a fiction. It's a lie. It's never, ever, ever going to be the solution to a free society. And a lot of people who still think that being a constitutionalist or going back to the Constitution is the way to go, nope, that would be, you know, just putting the Band-Aid back on, it can be slowly, more torturously taken off. What needs to happen is ultimate freedom and a complete voluntary society. And a lot of people are going to say, what? The reason you can't conceptualize that you're programmed not to believe that it's even possible. And by programmed, I'm talking about public school system. I'm talking about ignorance, what they told you to believe. Because it's like George Carlin says, the indoctrination starts at birth because parents have a vested interest in making sure that their kids believe the bullshit that they tell them. Because if not, they're not going to obey them. So, but there are ways to nonviolently and peace and parent your children peacefully. It's something that I sure wish I would have known when I was younger, but I did what everybody else does. I disciplined my children because that's what I thought God wanted me to do. And because of that, what, honey? I recognize that, but I had to get my commercials up. I was talking while my commercials got it because my computer is a little slow. So, anyhow, please stay tuned, everybody. I'm loading up my commercials here. And when we come back, air Stefan Molyneux's thing about gun.
Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
It's Feline Fury time.
Welcome back. This is Tiger Lily, and it's my radio show, Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar, on freedomizerradio.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. I was talking about my little excursion out there in Las Vegas. I went to a small claims court, and I talked, gave a little bit of background, and let me just finish up with that. So yesterday, I go to my small claims hearing. Now, this is the second one, because the first one that I went to was first of all, there's a mediation. It's required that you go through mediation. Now, when I filed my complaint, it was a complaint against the two Connolly. And what I paid them, you know, for my cost, because I paid like $100 for discovery, and I paid, you know, and you know, my time, not time and effort, but, you know, like out-of-pocket expenses, and I did some maneuvering to get $495, I believe it was. So what they did, my friends served these cops. What they did was hand it over to somebody in their department, and they retained an attorney for a multi-million dollar law firm. So it's really David versus Goliath. So the first thing he did was to request waiting mediation. And now in retrospect, I'm thinking the reason he didn't want to go to mediation is because he might just get somebody who would agree with me and say, okay, yeah, pay her $500. So what since he waived mediation, then what we went to, I guess he's a judge because he was wearing a robe, but he's technically a quote unquote referee. So when we went, and it wasn't until after this first hearing, and this hearing happened, I went into online and I tried to see, you know, what's supposed to happen in these? Because I've never gone to a small claims court. I've never had these hearings either in any kind of capacity. So I realized that the first person that's supposed to speak is the plaintiff, be me, and then the defendants get to talk. And then, you know, and the referee would decide what to do. Well, the referee didn't even bother to look at me. He just looked straight at the defense attorney, this multi-million dollar law firm representative, douchebag liar. And the referee says, "Oh, I see that this lady here didn't get her way, and so now she's trying to collect here. Is that what's going on?" And so then this guy, this attorney, gives him four reasons why I should not get my money, you know, and he's using all this fancy legal jargon and crap and everything. So then the referee looks at me and he says, well, and I think I've wrote it down. Okay. He says something to the effect that, you know, I'm going to deny the motion to dismiss base said, but I'm still going to dismiss this whole case because you just ain't got a case. So then I said something to the effect of, oh, are you saying that I don't have jurisdiction? you don't have this court doesn't have jurisdiction. And he's like, and that's what he had said initially. And then he backtracked and then contradicted himself. So when I got the judgment in the mail, he wrote down a findings of fact. Plaintiff is suing in small claims court for costs incurred in defending against tickets she was given for allegedly improper motorcycle helmet in an action she initiated in justice court and federal court. The case was removed from the small claim mediation requirements, and therefore the case was heard. No, it wasn't heard. Okay. Plaintiff cannot prove any recoverable damages. Sucker didn't give me a chance to tell him anything. And then he says, lady, do you know how many sheets of paper you submitted? I mean, just you. And I says, I don't know, like a couple of hundred? Yeah, and I read over all of it. I mean, that's how condescending it was to me. Never mind the fact that the defense attorney could be with a couple of hundred pages off the bat just with the first argument. I mean, he just blasted me with a bunch of crap that I had to review, and I had to look up. My husband helped me, and my friend, they all kind of helped me out. And he said, in his sense of law, this referee says, defendant's motion to dismiss on claim preclusion grounds is denied. However, there are no grounds for plaintiffs to recover in small claims court costs associated with separate court proceedings in different courts. Now, what this guy tried to say was that because there is a lawsuit, the wrongful, the helmet law, and that I'm a named plaintiff, that would preclude me. He cited some affidavits. Well, when my friend looked at this stuff, he says, no, the judge didn't admit any of your affidavits, any of the affidavits at all that we submitted. So I'm like, oh, okay. So he was kind of like Mike Tyson's trainer. He knows I'm kind of a loose cannon anyways, and he's always, you know, not always, but frequently it's been his modus operandi to kind of tame me a little bit and urge me not to be so flamboyant, you know. And I know better because these judges have a lot of power. I mean, when I was in jail, there was a five-month pregnant young lady there that got there because in the court of non-record, she rolled her eyes at a judge. I mean, so I know you can't, you know, be too crazy. So, but I got a feel for the judge. And as soon as I mentioned the word affidavit, oh man, I got up and I said, Your Honor, I object. And, there's no reason for you to object. Let him speak. He wants to say uninterrupted the way I speak, and then you may respond. So I waited. I just couldn't. I'm like doing my fingers, and I just can't wait, like ants in my pants. I can't wait to have my turn. So she says, okay, now, did you want to address something? So I stood up. I pointed at him. I said, that man right there is a liar. So she said, oh, ma'am, you know, yeah. And then I said, and I can prove it. I've got the right here. He is lying. And so I'm going to order a transcript of that because this is some juicy stuff. If I can't get my money, if I can't get these assholes, really, I didn't even care about the money. What I want is to make these ass clowns accountable. When they are on the road giving people tickets without even knowing what the hell they're doing, realizing that it's going to adversely impact their lives. These are the lives of the taxpayers for whom they are supposed to be working. When they do that crap, there will be consequences by somebody like me, and there has to be more of me like out there. And there are. We got Carlos Miller. We got Antonio Bueller. We've got Adam Kokesh. We've got David Stillwell, founder of Guerrilla Lawfare. We've got the Bikers of Lesser Tolerance. We've got groups all over the one common theme is we're all there, and we are becoming the alternative media to raise awareness over the truth. So I didn't even want money. I just want these guys to have to show up in court to show up in court the way they forced me to have to show up in court for an arraignment trial and a trial that was dismissed, which they knew I was not going to get a day in court. They knew it. That felt good. So, anywho, I mentioned mainstream media. Let's call them lamestream media because they are just absolutely out of control. I can't believe that CNN chick, something about, oh, maybe the president is going to form a new government agency to control people from shooting children. Oh, my God. What's the ATF? Land Security. What's FEMA? I mean, we have all of these agencies, and they're wicked, crooked agencies for which out of every $100 they have, maybe $1 might go to what they're supposed to be doing. The rest of it is going to their pensions, their lifestyles. They are thieves. They rob our money against our will and call it taxation and say, oh, well, you voted for the people. Give me a break. I didn't vote, and I will never vote again. So let's listen to what Stéphane Molyneux has to say about gun laws. And now, mind you, he has since, if you go to youtube.com/StephBot, STEFBOT, he's got about 1,000 YouTubes that he's done. He's the most popular philosopher on the net, on the internet. And he has since done a little podcast, maybe a 30-minute podcast, in which he addresses the shooting. He got very emotional about that because he's got a 4-year-old daughter, and he has raised her nonviolently. And so this is something that he had to say before the shooting. And let me, without any further ado, here we go. And in the meantime, I do have a Skype
caller. I believe in the right to bear arms, as it gives people the ability to fight off oppressive governments and intruders, etc. However, when people say more guns equals more deaths, it gets me thinking, call that weak-mindedness or whatever, and I question whether people in a free society can be trusted with weapons. Could you give me some comments on that or give me a video link? Well, there's tons of stuff about it. But again, you just want to work with first principles if you really want to make sure that you're not arguing from effect. Arguing from effect or consequentialism or utilitarianism or pragmatism is always a disaster. It's saying that an idea, the value or truth of an idea can be judged by its effects is not, it's not valid. That's not what philosophy. Philosophy is first principles, right? It's like saying that Einsteinian physics is wrong because it led to atomic weapons. No, Einsteinian physics is right or wrong regardless of the consequences of that. And so you don't have the right to bear arms because of, you know, X, Y, and Z consequence, the fighting off oppressive governments, which doesn't really work anyway. But no, you don't have the right to bear arms because of that. You have the right to bear arms because it's philosophically contradictory to oppose it, right? Because, okay, let's say that people do not have the right to bear arms, okay? So who's going to stop them from bearing arms? Well, people with arms. Okay, so some people must have the right to bear arms in order to stop other people from not having, who don't have the right to bear arms. Well, you've got then all of these penguins except for these five who are the opposite of penguins. Nobody has the right to bear arms except for these guys in a blue costume who must have bare arms to stop everyone else from bearing arms. People either have the right or don't have the right to bear arms. And not having the right to bear arms creates insurmountable logical contradictions. And therefore, it's false. You know, logical contradictions equals falsehood. Logical contradictions equals falsehood. That's all you need to think about. And so anybody who says that, okay, so people in a free society, can they be trusted with weapons? If you say yes, then you have a free society. And if you say no, they can't be trusted with weapons, then obviously you can't have a government. Because you have to trust people with weapons who call themselves the government. And if people can't be trusted with weapons, then you can't have a government. I mean, this is the old fundamental thing, and people will always try and create this double think, this artificial divide in your mind. It's very dangerous, very dangerous, most dangerous thing there is. And they will say, we need a government to protect us from evil people. But if there are evil people in the world, and I have no doubt that there are, where's the first place they're going to go? It's to the government. I mean, if you create an agency with the monopoly of force, it's going to attract evil people like flies to shit. And you do not solve the problem of evil by giving it a monopoly. I mean, you may solve the problem of certain conflicts, but I mean that's the Randall Patrick McMurphy argument, right? That you can solve the problem of rebellion with a frontal lobotomy. You can solve the problem of a migraine with a guillotine. You can't solve the problem of evil by creating an agency with a monopoly on evil, which attracts all the evil people. It's like, we have a problem with organized crime, so let's create one big organized crime monopoly and give it domination with nuclear weapons over the whole area. You've not solved the problem. You've just fed the cancer to the point where life becomes unsustainable. I guess a guy who's died doesn't have any problem with cancer, but it's not like you've had a cure. So that's really, really important. Now, people will always say, well, because of these bad people, because of these bad consequences, we must have a government. But that's creating a category of people which is supposed to have the exact opposite categorizations of those that you've just described. Sorry, that's a bad way of putting it. So if I say, well, there's lots of evil people in the world who will take your stuff, so we need a government to protect us from them. Well, how does the government pay for this protection? By taking your stuff. You haven't solved the problem. You understand? The use of government as an imaginary solution for social problems is worse, really, but it's on the same intellectual level as the use of God to solve problems in physics and biology. You say, well, God did it. There's no answer. It actually prevents answers because it's the pretend answer. When you have a pretend answer, when you think you have an answer, you stop looking for answers. And government is a way of pretending you have an answer when, in fact, you're just making the problems worse. It's the old thing. It's a morphine for a toothache. Hey, my tooth feels better, but the rot continues deeper. So I hope that helps. Thank you so much. Donations at freedomainradio.com/donate. I'll talk to you soon.
So that was Stefan Molyneux, and I posted on the chat his link to that specific podcast of his in which he talks about other things as well. He's got about 1,000 podcasts or so, and he is the top philosopher on the web. And in my opinion, he's going to go down in history as the next Socrates, or probably much better than Socrates, because he is all about the truth. And it's just fascinating how when you think you've got something figured out, he'll throw a little twist at you. And it really is a mind exercise. So this whole thing with gun control, there's another next week, if I don't have a guest lined up, I want to address gun control and how absolutely horrific gun control will be for the black community. I happen to feel that gun control is a discrimination against women and a discrimination against the elder and the handicapped, because we're the ones who are at a disadvantage against these white, big white boys who are going around killing everybody, you know? So we do need to pay attention to the mental health issues and everything, but if we raise our children nonviolently, and this is going to be a multi-generational thing, raise them nonviolently, because I bet you almost 100% of these crazy shooters had some kind of abusive relationships as they were growing up, either by their parents or by, you know, some rape or what have you. So if we can eliminate, and that was unpopular. I stated that yesterday at a meeting, and I should have said it in a more gentle way, but I just flat out said, this is what happens when we beat our children into submission because we're supposed to make them respect us. And somebody said, oh, no, I don't buy into that. Some kids need to, I think maybe they didn't get beaten enough. So then, you know, I realized that, you know, that was maybe too harsh of a thing to say. And I said, well, let's think about this. You know, we think back and are horrified that 100 years ago, women weren't allowed to vote. And then we think back 100 years before that, and we think that black people were slaved and shackled because to be our, you know, the servants for white people. We look at we see the immorality of it, and it is my hope that it's not going to take another 100 years for us to look back and say, really? We used to beat our children? We used to spank them because they didn't, you know, they wiggled too much? We drugged them because they were bored in school? Really? We had to resort to that? So anyhow, I've got Uncle Bob holding. I'm going to unmute his mic. And Uncle Bob, you're live. Thank you for joining.
Hey, thank you. Great commentary by that English gentleman. How can you disagree with that? I mean, it's well thought through. It's pretty awesome. I mean, you give all the one people to protect us the guns, and then they're the monsters. So definitely, there's a good film, you know, Aaron Russo put out, Freedom to Fascism. It's about taxes that people like Joe Bannister, who won the case of the century, 2004, with Freedom Law School. And he's a CPA, and he proved that federal income taxes are voluntary, won the case. This goes with the firearm issue in addition to that film, but it follows is a firearms film. And it says any time that the government, you know, confiscates weapons, genocide is quickly to follow. It gives all of the different governments that did exactly what's about to happen now. And I just encourage everyone to get Aaron Russo's film, Freedom to Fascism, and it has a second film on firearms. But getting back to paying your taxes, why do you want to keep paying these people to enslave us? Because you're afraid? Oh, my goodness. People need to Google Joe Bannister or Sherry Jackson Peel, an acquaintance of mine. I talked to her on the phone at her house. She did 2 years as a on a misdemeanor charge as a former higher person in the IRS that did put you away. And she realized also there is no law in the book to pay federal income tax, which also negates state income tax. And if we don't stand up together and say, hey, here's the law. It's never been proven. Then here's the cases. Here's the case law. Then we all can start saying we're not going to give you our energy, because that's what the money is it's little fake pieces of paper that we believe are worth something. It could be purple golf balls. But get involved in your uniform commercial code. Understand there's ways to deal with these people. In my experience, through the uniform commercial code, bills of exchange. I've had successes, many. I've had continuing battles, but never have I had a failure. I always have to educate the other party on the lower levels that these are real ways to pay without giving them little Federal Reserve notes. And right. You know, it all goes together. Right. It all goes together. So,
Uncle Bob, I really appreciate the call. I'm running out of time. I got 3 minutes left, and I want to go to commercial break. But would you mention the name of that movie that you were talking about fascism?
Freedom to Fascism. Aaron Russo, producer of The Rose.
Okay, I think we lost. Okay, I'm sorry. I cut him off accidentally because I wasn't listening to him. But, I just posted a YouTube that I produced just last week. I think it was Sunday or something. And it's if you wouldn't mind taking a look at that, I encourage you to look at it, because I saw that President Obama was crying, you know, that he cried, but I really didn't see any tears. And I exposed the hypocrisy of his crying over these 20 children, which is, of course, is a tragedy, and it's an emotional thing. Nobody wants a child to be killed and slaughtered in such an inhumane way. But this is the leader of the so-called free world who is sending drones out to murder hundreds of children overseas. Why don't they matter to him? And this is the president that said he was going to stop the wars. What a little liar. What a hypocrite. And then he's talking about, we have to stop this, and I'm going to exercise. Give me a break. That means that he's going to disarm us. That's code for let's disarm us. Let's give these cops more control. And then the last press conference that he had, he starts citing how many cops got killed. Who cares? How many innocent people are the cops killing? That's what mainstream media is never going to tell anybody. So you're listening to Tiger Lily. This is Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. And come back same time, same place, a week from today. And thank you all. And enjoy your Christmas holiday, everybody. See you guys next week. Have a great one.